The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Ah, yes, good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, September 24th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us today here at 420radio.org, where we got all sorts of cool stuff for sale in our shop. Check out our 420 Radio Russ Belville Show pins right there at 420 Radio Shop. These are beautiful collector's items, as well as the 420radio.org pin. Good stuff. We got posters, we got stickers, we got all sorts of cool stuff. And if you buy some of that stuff, who knows, maybe we can get you some coverage from Amsterdam. We got to raise some money here. Also, big thanks to Lush LED Lighting, our newest sponsor here on the show. Check them out at lushledlighting.com. All right, on today's show, we've got great video for you. Last week, we spent some time taking a look at my trip to the Boston Freedom Rally. Before that, we spent some time taking a look at my trip to the Seattle Cannabis Cup. And unfortunately, the Seattle Cannabis Cup was held the same exact weekend as my local hometown, Portland Hempstock. But never fear, the good folks at the Campaign for the Restoration and Regulation of Hemp, ICO, Herb Thrasher, a bunch of good people got us some video. And so this week, we're going to take a look at some of the speakers from Portland Hempstock just a couple weekends ago. And none sits higher on my list of favorite activists then the youngest one, 8-year-old Brave Michaela. Brave Michaela spoke for the first time, her first public speaking activist event at the Hempstock 2013. I haven't even seen the video yet. I am looking forward to watching this one, as well as her parents, Brave Mama, Aaron Purchase, and Canadad, Brandon Krensler. Thanks, Brandon, for supplying the video. Also, our own Herb Thrasher spoke for the need for hemp at Portland Hempstock. We'll bring you that video at the end of the show. But at the very end of the show, we have got a radical rant. Got something to rant about today because, well, I was taking a look at the chances of legalization here in the state of Oregon and who is proposing different initiatives. And so far, I've heard that there's at least three initiatives in the works. And I just can't get my head around. I was like, why can't we just get behind one good one and legalize? So we're going to rant a little bit about that at the end of the show. Also, in behind the headlines, we've got a look at the amazingly prohibitive expenses that it takes to open up a medical marijuana dispensary in some of the medical marijuana states in this country. We got 420 Radio headline news coming up next. And for our Electric Tuesday, I'm going to bring you some acapella science.
You cut people, you smoke trees till you get what you need now. Designer drugs and midgets, most to get through the day. You always get them so high.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Pills? You mean you really are taking drugs?
I need them.
Jesse, give me those.
I need them back. I have to sing.
Jesse, you can't sing tonight.
Yes, I can. I'm so excited. I'm scared.
Jesse, Jesse. Come on.
Hey everybody, welcome. It's Danny Danko from High Times Magazine, and I'm here with Mr. Kyle Cushman, and we're talking about integrated pest management. Now Kyle, I see you're using these yellow sticky traps. What's the purpose of those?
It is just a good part of routine IPM, integrated pest management, along with neem oil, regular spraying of neem oil every second or third day. And it's just good to keep down to prevent an infestation before it happens.
Okay.
So it's kind of like that canary in the coal mine thing where it'll let you know ahead of time by seeing how many bugs there if you need to employ something stronger, if you're going to need to use biological controls or some chemical insecticides.
Wow, cool. And also I'd like people to know the reason these sticky traps are yellow is that the bugs are attracted to that color. It's the color of a dying leaf, which makes a welcome home for them. So always remove any yellowing leaves so as not to create a home for pests.
Yes. Yellow or mottled leaves. Go away.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kyle. And this has been a lesson in integrated pest management.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, September 24th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Marijuana legalization, New York City's next mayor will try to legalize, from policymike.com. The next mayor of New York City will help usher in the decriminalization of marijuana regardless of which candidate wins the seat. Mayoral aspirants Bill de Blasio and Joseph Lota, who were elected as nominees to represent their respective Democratic and Republican parties following primary elections earlier this month, are both fervent proponents of decriminalizing marijuana. De Blasio said, quote, "I support legislation to decriminalize the display of small amounts of marijuana," end quote, during a July public online interview. Last month, Lota admitted to smoking marijuana over 40 years ago and was the first major candidate to come out in support of legalization back when he was the transit chief of the Metropolitan Transportation Authority. And Independence Party mayoral candidate Adolfo Carrion Jr., who is running against de Blasio and Lota, has also admitted to smoking marijuana in his lifetime and supports its decriminalization. Medical marijuana study, West Virginia, from WCHS-TV. West Virginia lawmakers are discussing medical marijuana this week. A West Virginia lawmaker who's been pushing for legalization here is at it again with a hearing scheduled this week. A lot of people on both sides of the debate encourage further studies be done to show the long-term benefits of marijuana use. A joint committee will hold a two-hour session on the issue this Wednesday at the Capitol. Maine medical marijuana users fear loss of subsidized housing, from Bangor Daily News. Some medical marijuana patients may have to choose between their cannabis and their federally subsidized housing if a state moratorium is not renewed before its October 1st deadline. While state housing officials say it's unlikely the deadline will pass without action, the prospect is still unnerving to those who may be affected. The moratorium allows grandfathered medical marijuana patients to use, possess, and grow cannabis while in federally subsidized housing properties. If it is not extended before it sunsets next Tuesday, those patients will have to stop taking the drug in Section 8 housing or have their federal rent subsidies cut off. The Maine State Housing Authority said only 12 of the approximately 3,850 state Section 8 housing voucher receivers in Maine would be affected by a moratorium lapse if it happens. Vancouver, Washington Council okays moratorium on pot, from the Columbian. The Vancouver City Council unanimously on Monday approved a moratorium against the licensing of any marijuana retail outlets pursuant to Initiative 502, which legalized possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana for adults aged 21 and older. Earlier this month, the Washington State Liquor Control Board approved a series of supplemental rules to guide the adoption of a system to grow, possess, and sell marijuana. The board capped the maximum number of pot shops statewide at 334 and said Clark County could be home to up to 15 marijuana retailers by the time the state starts doling out licenses to legal pot sellers next spring. Six of those stores can be within Vancouver city limits. The moratorium gives the city more time to set zoning restrictions. The state already says the businesses must be at least 1,000 feet from schools, playgrounds, recreation centers, child care centers, public parks, transit centers, libraries, and arcades. The city has received approximately 30 emails and telephone inquiries on possible locations for marijuana facilities. South Jersey's first medical marijuana site prepares for opening. PhiladelphiaCBS.com. South Jersey's first medical marijuana dispensary is just a few weeks from opening. The Compassionate Care Foundation is growing about 1,500 pot plants in anticipation of an October 15th kickoff. There will be counselors on hand to advise people on which type of marijuana to buy and the best way to ingest it. CCF anticipates about $8 million in sales the first year, thanks to $350,000 in New Jersey funding. The growing operation plans to expand. And in an update from an earlier story, the Boise County Forest Hall of 40,000 marijuana plants has been downgraded by the federal government to just a little over 5,500, making it no longer Idaho's largest grow bust. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, September 24th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we go behind the headlines to take a look at the high cost of opening a medical marijuana dispensary these days in some of the newest medical marijuana states and some of the oldest. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa." Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215. Or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com. Legalize me.
Don't criticize.
Overjoyed. I've been cannabis activist for 40 years.
We're turning the corner on a failed policy that's been disastrous for our communities, and things are going to get better.
80 years ago, we repealed alcohol prohibition in this state. We did it prior to the federal government, and we're doing the same thing when it comes to marijuana. We are a step ahead, and we will continue to lead the way.
It means I'm going to smoke a lot of weed tonight!
Woo! Some call it marijuana.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Some of them call it cannabis. Never mind. Legalize.
Welcome back. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And when I covered that story about Massachusetts, it got me to thinking. The story told us about how Massachusetts had 180 some odd people that had applied for a dispensary license. They got 22 of them kicked out because they didn't meet the initial requirement of having $500,000 in reserve, in capital, liquid capital that they could prove. And this really shocked me. This $500,000 thing kind of shocked me. And then furthermore, the 158 of them that are left now are all competing for just 35 dispensary spots. Okay, so it's 35 potential dispensaries. There can only be no more than 5 dispensaries for each county in the state. There's 7 counties, so 35 dispensaries. At most, there could be fewer, right? But at most, there's 35. And there's 158 people or entities, corporations, whatever, competing for these dispensary licenses. And each one of them is going to submit a $30,000 non-refundable dispensary application fee. $30,000 just to be considered. Now, 158 of them competing for 35 spots. What's that, a 1 in 4 chance? 1 in 5, somewhere in there? That's a hell of a $30,000 bet to have to lay down, isn't it? You don't get that money back. And this means that if all 158 of them submit an application, it's going to be $4.7 million that the state of Massachusetts gets just from application fees. Now, Massachusetts is not alone in charging these non-refundable fees and forcing these dispensary businesses to have massive amounts of capital on hand. In Arizona, the applicants there have to prove they have $150,000 in startup capital. If they can prove that, then there's the $5,000 non-refundable application fee they have to pay. Now, there was 126 dispensary operators that applied in Arizona, so therefore that's about $630,000 made just from the non-refundable dispensary application fees. Now, this also applies to some of the older medical marijuana states that are now just getting around to passing dispensary laws, like Nevada. Nevada's recently passed dispensary law requires proof of $250,000 in liquid assets before you can even apply. And if you got that covered, then you got to drop another $5,000 for the non-refundable application fee. And then, if you're approved, your license costs $30,000. Now, by law, it's possible for there to be about 60 dispensaries that would open up in Nevada. So with all the fees and non-refundable applications and so forth, that's at least $2.1 million for the state of Nevada. And keep in mind, for these people that are being forced to prove they have all of this startup capital, oftentimes they don't get the benefit of putting their bank accounts or other things like that down because of all the federal interference with banking and dispensaries. So this is some really liquid assets we're talking about. And throughout the 15 medical marijuana states that have or will have an operating dispensary, lots of them have these non-refundable application fees on top of the annual licensing fees. In Washington, D.C., $5,000 to apply, $10,000 for a license. New Jersey, $2,000 to apply, $20,000 for a license. Vermont, $2,500 to apply, $30,000 for a license. Now, if you just thought, oh, well, I don't want to own a dispensary, I just want to be a grower, I want to be a producer, I want to produce the marijuana, well, they don't get off lightly either. In Colorado, a cultivator has to pay a $1,200 application fee and $2,750 for an annual license. Nevada charges $3,000 for a producer license. New Mexico requires a $1,000 application fee and up to $30,000 licensing. And in Connecticut, if you want to grow pot for the state dispensary system, it's going to cost you a $25,000 fee to apply and $75,000 a year to maintain the license. Now, with these massive upfront costs, it's no wonder dispensary marijuana ends up costing the same or even sometimes more than black market marijuana. But if you just thought, well, I'll just grow my own and avoid the cost, well, think again. If you're in Arizona, Connecticut, D.C., Delaware, Illinois, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, or New Jersey, you don't get the option of growing your own medicine at home. Now, all right, to be fair, Arizona does allow home grow if you're farther than 25 miles from a dispensary, which now only applies to 4.8% of the population and in very rural locations. You want to live in Tuba City, Arizona? Then you're allowed to grow your own medical marijuana. The state actually has a map with little green circles of 25-mile radius to show where the where you can and cannot live if you want to grow your own marijuana. And Massachusetts does allow home grow on a case-by-case hardship exemption where you have to prove it's too far, too hard, or too expensive, or whatever. So, sounds like quite the racket when you can force all these non-refundable fees and re-up licensing charges for the state and not let patients grow their own medicine. But then again, we knew it was all a racket when we got into this business, didn't we? You gotta pay a tax, right? You'll be paying the dealer tax, the prohibition tax, the medical tax, the dispensary tax. Lots of taxes, folks. And this is some of the stuff we're going to be fighting over for the next few years as legalization happens across this country. As it becomes more legal. It's not if, it's how. And these are some of the problems we've got to solve. Lecture Tuesday is coming up next. Stick around.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
The Russ Belville Show brings you the best in daily toker tunes every weekday. Each day features a different genre, including Roots Monday.
Folks, here's a story about Minnie the Moocher.
Electric Tuesday. Irie Wednesday.
Summer ganja planter, call me the ganja planter.
Groovin' Thursday.
Don't you wanna get high?
And Rockin' Friday. Then on weekends, we mix them all together in our weekend music party. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Electric Tuesday, featuring the latest in electronic dance music and other cutting edge genres. You can get downloads and more information about all our daily toker tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily toker tune.
All right, a reminder for everyone, next week on Tuesday, our newest Electric Tuesday music editor will be joining us. Electric Bob will be bringing you songs. And so we're looking forward to that. This is my last chance to bring you some Electric Tuesday music. And you know my tastes in this area are kind of eclectic and weird. I kind of like that auto-tune science-y stuff. And don't worry, though, I do not have an auto-tune tune for today. This is not one of those Symphony of Science auto-tunes. This is actually something different and pretty special. I think this is pretty amazing what this guy has done with this video. The video is by A Cappella Science, which is this one guy who is apparently working on his master's in some really hard physics and science and such. You know, you're Big Bang Theory type people, right? You know, nerd type stuff, right? And for the nerds out there listening, I think you're really going to enjoy this. And if you're watching on our video replay or our feed, I think you'll really enjoy the technique he used in this video. We all know the Queen classic song, Bohemian Rhapsody. What he has done is taken this song and made a parody video called Bohemian Gravity. And it's all about physics concepts done in the lyrics. And that's pretty fun. And since a lot of us don't know this stuff, all the lyrics are on the screen. It's one of these lyrics videos, but done in a very, very clever and creative way. And musically speaking, it's amazing how many different vocal parts he had to record and put together to make this all happen. It's a really amazing piece. I love it. It's called Bohemian Gravity. Here it is on your Electric Tuesday. Enjoy.
Is string theory right? Is it just fantasy? Caught in the landscape, out of touch with reality. Compactify, on S5 or T-star S3.
Space is a pure void. Why should it be stringy?
Because it's quantum not classical, non-renormalizable.
Any way you quantize, you encounter
No. Sergeant Craig Simpson.
There are other tests which officers can perform that may help them to make this determination. Tests such as one called lack of convergence, which looks to see whether or not a person is able to cross their eyes. Marijuana is a drug that prevents a person from being able to cross their eyes. Interestingly, it is the only drug category that doesn't allow a person to cross their eyes and also does not allow the person to exhibit a jerkiness of their eye. So it's a unique drug in that sense that is the only one to provide that influence.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
Welcome back, everybody. And it was so sad that I had to miss the Portland hemp stock this year. I was up at the Seattle Cannabis Cup. Can't be in two places at once unless you're a tachyon. No, never. Sorry, nerd carrying over from the last segment. Anyway, didn't get a chance to go to the Portland hemp stock, and I really missed out because my favorite activist, Brave Michaela, my favorite little activist. She's 8 years old. She battled as a 7-year-old. She battled leukemia. She used cannabis oil to help get over it. And she became well known for speaking out and making YouTube videos and letting people know. This is her first appearance at Portland Hempstock.
For those of you who do not know our family, this is my daughter. Her name is Michaela. At 8 years old, she is one of Oregon's youngest medical marijuana patients. In July of 2012, we got the most heartbreaking news that Michaela had a mass in her chest the size of a basketball. Acute lymphoblastic leukemia. She spent 8 days inpatient at Randall Children's Hospital here in Portland, Oregon, 3 of those days in the pediatric intensive care unit fighting for her life. This mass put pressure on every internal organ in her body, and it made her very sick. I watched cancer rob the life of my little girl, and I was devastated. For the moment we heard that she had cancer, I knew instantly that we wanted to treat her with full extracted cannabis oil. I watched a little boy in Montana, Cashy Hyde, save his life with cannabis. He fought a long battle, and cannabis helped him all the way through it. We got her records the day she was diagnosed, and 10 days after diagnosis, we got her on the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program, thanks to the THCF clinic here in Portland, Oregon. They have a very compassionate doctors there. We administered the cannabis oil extract, and instantly I saw a smile return to my little girl's face. She was hungry for the first time in months. She was happy again. We watched her turn from very sick to better. She turned into an average 7-year-old healthy little girl. Thank you to cannabis. She's now here today, cancer-free. She's been cancer-free for over a year. They told her she was going to need a bone marrow transplant and cranial radiation. Thank you to cannabis, she did not. 7 days after administering the whole extracted cannabis oil, our doctors told us Michaela had made a miraculous remission.
Nice.
She has not had any cancer since. She is, however, by law, required to endure chemotherapy for 2.5 years. Cannabis has relieved every side effect associated with that. Most children that are treated for her condition are prescribed oxycodone, morphine, methadone,
Ativan,
and many other harmful, dangerous pharmaceutical prescription drugs. Michaela has not taken any of those. Not only that, she has had not one day of pain, nor has she experienced many episodes of nausea. Cannabis is responsible for the health and the smile that this little girl has. For those of you who did think cannabis was inappropriate for children, I hope that you reconsider that and help me with this fight to make this medicine available to every child in the United States. Because of this little girl, I have watched so many children save their lives with cannabis now, and it seems to work the same way for every child. For the sake of our children and our future generation, keep up the fight and free this plant. Thank you so much.
There's nothing left to debate. This is what should be the first line in a child's treatment when it comes to mood debilitating conditions. Remember that when you see a child in need, it's only whole plant medicine. We'd like to welcome you guys also over to the Mellow Mamas booth, where we're hosting a raffle. They're hosting a raffle for our family to help afford her treatments, her medications, and the trips to Portland from Eastern Oregon. You can go over there and find many awesome things like t-shirts, stickers, and bracelets. We'd love to see you over there. Thank you, everybody. You have an awesome rest of your hemp stock. Thank you, to my daughter, Brave Michaela. Some of you may not. Last year, in July, she was diagnosed with T-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia after being horribly sick for months. When we finally got to the doctor at the right time, they said she had a mass in her chest. We got rushed to Randall Children's Hospital in Portland, thank you, where she received the diagnosis of the leukemia. They began chemotherapy on her. She spent 8 days in the ICU. The chemotherapy was not killing off the leukemia. It was not sending it into remission. They started talking with us about full body bone marrow transplants and radiation. We denied this. Instead, we went to the local THCF in Southeast Portland and got her Oregon medical marijuana card. Cannabis oil, and 6 days later she was in remission. We stand here to tell the story because cannabis is just as good for children as it is for us adults. It should be the first step in their treatment. If our society is okay with giving kids highly toxic drugs, narcotic medications, they should be willing to give these children. This is the first step. This is just a plan. This cures cancer. It cures many debilitating conditions, and these children are leading us into a new future. We have to stand behind them. We have to be here for them. You guys, thank you for having us up here tonight. Thank you for supporting our journey. We're over here in the Mellow Mamas booth. We have a raffle going. It's $5 a ticket to help us raise money for her treatments, her oils, as well as her travels to Portland for her treatments.
I'll be picking the winners tomorrow night.
Put your hands together, welcome to the front stage, my good friend, Mr. Herb Thrasher! Yeah! Portland Hemp Stock! What's going on out there? Appreciate him, guy. Oh, dude, he does so much for this community. He's up from Sacramento. He's at all these hemp festivals. You guys have seen him for so many years, and he comes up and gives us his time, and I appreciate him. And I also want to take a second to appreciate all the Hemp Stock Core staff here running this show. Come on, guys. We all go through so much. This event right here has been going on for about 10 years. And it gets run because people volunteer, people join together. People are a community. We are a cannabis community. And we make events like this. We make Seattle Hemp Fest. We make Olympia Hemp Fest. And all our Hemp Fest events like this, great. And you guys are awesome, and I just hope you guys, when you guys see the core staff riding around on these golf carts, picking up trash, thank them, dude. I'm telling you, they're volunteers. Yeah. All right, Are you guys here for Hempstock? What's up? That's right. That's the spirit we're talking about. That's what we're looking for right now. So, Hempfest, man. How many of you guys out there support hemp? Anyone have any hemp on right now wearing hemp? Yeah. We got a lot of vendors out here selling hemp. So, guys, make sure you guys go by there. The vendors that are selling hemp, give them an extra thumbs up, man, because we really need to start supporting hemp. This is a huge industry that we can drive to the forces of the mainstream movement. That's right. Socks, belts, wallets. Come on, dude. You guys know we don't smoke hemp. Shoes. It doesn't matter. Underwear. It's all good, man. Hemp. So we guys definitely keep supporting hemp. Learn about hemp. Find the companies that are selling hemp and support them. I mean, if companies like, if you walk into a store and you see a product right next to a hemp product, and if the hemp product is $2 more, $3 more than the other product, don't buy the other product because of that. Come on, guys, let's spend a couple more bucks. It's hard to get hemp here. It's hard to produce hemp. It's hard to manufacture hemp. You know, hemp's illegal too. I know you know, dude, I know you know. And so let's just keep supporting hemp. Let's keep doing what we do, keep supporting these hemp industries. You guys know I started a company over here, herbagedesigns.com. And one of the reasons I started this company is because I wanted to sell hemp, but I also wanted to start a company that didn't sell bongs, pipes, dab pieces. You know, I love all those pieces. I'm a huge bong smoker. I love bongs, I love dabs. But man, we need industry, we need business, we need creative people out there, which the cannabis community, the music industry, all these guys are creative people. We need creative movements within this industry, doing industry, mainstream products. Let's get. I would love to expand my company by buying your products so we can get into mainstream stores and take this industry to the community. I love you, little girl, Brave Michaela. All you guys definitely need to look up the Brave Michaela story. She's a sweet little heart right here. She has been driving so much for the just this industry, teaching people what it's all about. So you guys definitely keep supporting Brave Michaela. Look at her story. Let's see what's up. How about moms out there? Do we got any moms? Yeah! Moms, you guys support your kids, and I hope your kids out there, you guys need to educate your moms. That's who we need to start educating, moms. I mean, if the dad is like, if mom is happy, when the household's happy, if the mom's happy, everyone's happy. That's right. And so moms, if we can keep educate, mom support, you guys too. So keep supporting, educate your moms. That's who's gonna drive this force. If you guys look back at prohibition, alcohol prohibition, moms and women are who changed it. Look up the Normal Women's Alliance. That's a growing chapter right there. A lot of people are joining the Normal Women's Alliance. A lot of women are now definitely joining this movement, which we've needed for a long, long time. And thank you, sweetheart, so much, man. We are freaking so thankful for everything you guys are doing. And it's awesome. And so I also want to talk about 420radio.org. That's right, some of you guys know me as Herb Thrasher. I have a live radio show on Friday nights, 420radio.org. We're a 24-hour network, so you guys come over there, stop by, check out information. We have the Russ Belville Show. You guys know Russ? Does anyone know Russ Belville out there? I know everyone out there has probably cussed him at one time, but you've also hugged him 10 other times, because he's huge for this movement. He's got a great show. Monday through Fridays, and then we've got a disco show, we've got a reggae show, and I so happen to be metal! I like rock, dude. Does anybody like rock? That's right, man. This movement isn't all about Bob Marley. I love Bob Marley. Yeah, we be jamming, but we also be jamming. That's right, dude. Grateful Dead, I love the Dead, but I also love 6 Feet Under. I love Acero, who we're about to hear, and all kinds of great metal bands. And so all you metalheads out there, all you rockers, it's time for you guys to start stepping up into this movement too. So long.
It's been others, man, and it's time for the metal movement to start. So you guys support Herb Thrash and Flower Hour on Friday nights, 8 o'clock, 420radio.org. Appreciate all you guys and everything you guys do.
You want answers?
I was mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, so Paul Stanford and the crew behind the Oregon Cannabis Tax Act are making a go at the 2014 election cycle. Well, you know, you've heard me say strike while the iron is hot, and I've also said Oregon can win in 2014. But the question is, can Okta win in 2014 after being soundly defeated in 2012? And sorry, glass half fullers. When you get 47% in Oregon in the year that the two larger states get 55% for legalization, that's a sound defeat. So, is the Okta brand an electoral poison? Some of the flaws from Okta 2012 have been corrected, most notably the unlimited personal possession and cultivation parts, which have been reduced to the medical levels. 24 plants and 24 ounces will be considered personal. The Oregon Cannabis Commission is now appointed by the governor rather than voted for by the producers for whom the OCC would be regulating. Previously, 5 of the 7 appointees would have been chosen by the producers, and that majority would have been setting the marijuana prices paid to the producers. But there's still one glaring flaw, at least to me, that remains from 2012. Check out these two parts. Section 4, 474.005 section 5 says, hemp means the seeds, stems, and stalks of the cannabis plant and all other parts, products, and byproducts of the cannabis plant, not containing cannabinoids in concentrations established by the commission to be psychoactive. Seeds and starts of all varieties of cannabis shall be considered hemp. Sounds good, right? Hemp is non-psychoactive cannabis. Simple, right? But take in that last sentence and combine it with this one, 474.035, Section 1, that said, the commission's jurisdiction shall extend to any person licensed under this chapter to cultivate, process, or sell cannabis, but shall not extend to any person who manufactures products from hemp. Hemp production for fiber, protein, and oil shall be allowed without regulation, license, nor fee. All right, so let's boil those two down. The Oregon Cannabis Commission can't regulate hemp in any way. Like, say, age limits or possession amounts. And all seeds and starts from all varieties of cannabis are hemp. So if I'm reading this correctly, a 12-year-old could legally purchase 1,000 viable psychoactive cannabis seeds, plant them in his backyard, and maintain a garden of 1,000 6-foot-tall, non-flowering psychoactive cannabis plants, and if the cops found it, they couldn't do a thing about it. Because the only definition I find in the Okta for cannabis refers to the flowering tops and plants that have too great a THC concentration. There is no definition of a start and no definitions of mature or seedling either. Since this act will fully replace and supersede all statutes, it also means medical patients would be freed from that absurd 12-inch plant rule and would go from 6 to 24 mature plants and from 18 to an unlimited number of seeds and starts. But will Oregon voters appreciate those distinctions? Keeping hemp unregulated is not likely to spook many voters, but keeping viable psychoactive cannabis seeds and starts, keeping those unregulated just might spook them a bit. As might the continuing presence of Okta's 2014 chief petitioner, Paul Stanford. Now, advocates for Okta 2012 will often lament that if only their measure had the enormous financial resources of the Washington and Colorado campaigns, they too would have emerged victorious on November 6, 2012. Yup, and if only I were 7'2", I might have gotten a basketball scholarship. The number one reason Oregon didn't have those financial resources was the involvement of Paul Stanford. P. period. Now, the reasons may be valid or invalid, depending on who you ask, but the result is the same. Big money and national reform orgs will not work with him. Now, to his credit, Stanford poured a huge amount of his own money, estimated to be about $440,000, into the campaign. But most of that was used just to get Okta up on the ballot, with nothing remaining for campaigning and hundreds of thousands of dollars, potential campaign dollars, wasted on earlier disastrous fundraising ventures. So how's he going to raise the money for signature gatherers and campaigning for an initiative this time around when all the large money donors will not help him, especially in a non-presidential election year? Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Make that two initiatives. In addition to his latest iteration of Okta, Stanford is proposing HEMP 2014, which stands for Help End Marijuana Prohibition. Unlike Okta, which is a statutory initiative, HEMP is a constitutional amendment, which reads in full, Article 1 of the Constitution of the State of Oregon is amended by a vote of the people to include the following new section to be appropriately enumerated upon approval. Applicability of state laws and penalties to the private personal use, possession, and production of cannabis. Exceptions state may regulate. Except for actions that endanger minors or public safety, neither the criminal offenses and sanctions, nor the laws of civil forfeiture of this state, shall apply to the private personal use, possession, or production of cannabis, and any products produced therefrom, by adults 21 years of age or older. The state may enact laws and regulations consistent with this amendment to reasonably define, limit, and regulate the use, possession, production, sale, or taxation of cannabis under state law. Well, now this is a very tight and simple amendment that gives the legislature a role in helping to define legal cannabis in Oregon. As an amendment, it will take more signatures to get on the ballot, and it will face tougher scrutiny from the voters. So I'm curious why Stanford would propose both Okta and HEMP in 2014. I mean, Okta's clearly a damaged brand with a glaring HEMP flaw, which will only divert the resources that could better be utilized for getting HEMP on the ballot. With two initiatives proposed by the same guy, the taint of Okta is going to get transferred to the superior HEMP initiative, and voters might get confused about which is which. And the signature gatherers have to get two signatures, and then there's the chance someone may accidentally double sign an initiative. And if he can't afford one campaign, why start two? And then, to add more confusion to this mix, New Approach Oregon, which is a new organization with interest from the big money and national reform groups, is proposing a legislative referral to the voters to legalize marijuana. Now, this is an optimal plan, and it's a political route that's pretty much closed off to Stanford. The legislature would craft a proposal that they could live with politically and then put it on the ballot for voters. The need for gathering signatures would be moot. All the fundraising and volunteerism would go directly to the campaigning. And the state's largest newspaper, the Oregonian, has already twice called on the legislature to follow this route, even leveraging the chance that Paul Stanford's efforts succeed as motivation for lawmakers to work with New Approach Oregon's Anthony Johnson, calling him by name. However, New Approach Oregon has indicated that should the referral route fail, as it did in the last legislative session, they would attempt to place the initiative on the ballot through signature gathering. So, there could potentially be three legalization initiatives in Oregon, one with big money and professional signature gatherers, and two others with Paul Stanford's money and volunteer signature gatherers collecting for both at the same time. Oregonians would have to keep track of which of the three they've signed so as not to double sign any of them. If you thought the Washington I-502 controversies were fun to watch, wait until the Oregon legalization movement in 2014 is played out in the cannabis community as the longtime grassroots hemp heroes versus the out-of-state big money lawmaker colluding regulators. Leaders will ask people to sign and vote for them all, but certainly everyone involved knows that the one with the most votes wins. Will fans of Stanford, longing for unlimited starts and two dozen mature plants, really also support what will surely be a more restrictive piece of legislation coming out of the legislature? And how soon before the medical marijuana people flinch over these laws fully superseding their beloved Oregon Medical Marijuana Act? How soon before the emergent marijuana dispensary industry rises up to protect their medical monopoly turf? I just wish everyone in Oregon could get on the same page and fight for one realistic legalization proposal that can pass. Marijuana Policy Project had the right idea in that regard, and if it only would have accepted that Oregon reformers weren't going to wait until 2016, there's a good chance most of them would have worked together with MPP. So now it looks like it's survival of the fittest in the one state with two different factions fighting for three different legalizations. Well, on the bright side, we're not California. I'll rant about that fiasco at another time. That's all we got for the Radical Rant today. And with a couple of minutes that we've got left, I just want to remind everyone that we got big changes coming up here on 420 Radio and the Russ Belville Show. Coming up next week, starting Monday, actually September 30th, but I'm calling it the beginning of October. But starting on Monday, September 30th, we welcome the return of Toker Talk Radio. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. So many of you have complained about the lack of Toker Talk Radio, and yes, Toker Talk Radio will be back next Monday. Monday through Friday, we will bring you another hour right after this show of live call-in and just general talking and humor and fun and videos and interviews, kind of free form, starting next week right here on 420radio.org. Also, we welcome the return of A Different View with Jen and Iva and Sharon at sometimes, I understand, but we'll be at a different time, no longer on Tuesday nights. It will be on Sunday afternoons, 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. on the East Coast. Women's perspectives on marijuana legalization. You'll check out A Different View. We'll also be welcoming back Canna Truths with Denton Ramsey out of Waco, Texas, deep in the heart of Texas, fighting for legalization with Canna Truths. So glad that he'll be putting new episodes back on the air. We will also be bringing you new episodes of The Viper Hour next Monday night. The Viper Hour returns every Monday night at 8 p.m. And I'm not sure if I'm going to do a movie or we're going to do music. I'm still planning and preparing. We'll see what I can find in the archives since I've moved. Tuesdays at night, we'll be debuting a new show, Herb Thrasher Sports, on Tuesday nights. And it will be a short, like, half-hour sports show that we'll do on Tuesday nights. I think half hour, maybe longer. We'll talk to Herb about it. We're still in the development process on that one. Wednesday nights will feature Red Eyes Reggae Flashback. If we can get Red Eyes back in the studio, still got to talk to him and solidify that up. Thursday, we'll have new episodes of Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. I believe season 3 is starting up. The Libra Lounge has new content up, as well as Lively Libra transitions from the caterpillar of teaching to the butterfly of activism. And plenty more. We're going to have other shows on. We're going to get Cannabis Nation Radio. Cannabis Network Radio. That's it. Cannabis Network Radio with Dave Kowalski out of Florida. Looking for another show there from a red state. Glad to have that perspective here on 420 Radio. Hey, that's all the time we've got for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it.